This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. We're 1 year away from midterm elections in this country. Here in Wisconsin, voters will decide whether Scott Walker gets another term as governor, whether Tammy Baldwin continues in the U.S. Senate, and for voters in the 1st Congressional District, whether Paul Ryan will stay in Congress.
That race is being watched around the country, largely because Ryan is a national figure in his role as Speaker of the House. His complicated relationship with President Donald Trump has led some to wonder whether he could be vulnerable to a challenge, either from within his own party or from a Democrat. Well, one of the Democrats running for the nomination to face Ryan has gotten a lot of national attention himself.
Randy Bryce has made waves on social media and in political circles around the country for his approach to the race. Journalist Annette Witheridge spent some time this fall following Bryce's nascent campaign, and she reports on it in the November issue of Milwaukee Magazine. We reached her on the line from New York. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of his campaign, remind us how Randy Bryce managed to have such a rapid rise into the national spotlight.
In modern terms, he went viral. He linked up with two video makers, or a video maker and a campaign manager, who specialize in pretty, you know, sort of good, slick videos. And he basically brought along his family. All his family were involved, and it was like, you know, his own struggles. You know, he's an iron worker, he's a veteran, his mother has you know, health issues, his father has health issues. He also had cancer in his 20s and worries about health care for his son. And I think he basically, you know, it kind of caught the imagination.
He kind of ticks a lot of boxes as far as symbolism goes.
He definitely ticks a lot of boxes. And I think many, many people can relate. I mean, so often, you know, nowadays our politicians, our lawmakers are, you know, they're policy wonks. They basically have, you know, they've straight from university. They go to work in D.C. or they work in sort of Senate in various states. And here is somebody who every day, you know, has to think about his wages, putting food on the table, paying for insurance. You know, he's every man.
He's every man, but he's also every man who has never won who's never successfully contested an election.
That is the other thing. Now, I mean, he's done two sort of fairly major ones in the state, plus the school board. And this is something his opponents have been very quick to point out. Now, I'm told that he's learning on the job. And I don't know that perhaps when he first started talking about running in April, but quite, you know, most certainly did not expect the campaign to take off as quickly as it did.
There must be concerns, though, about peaking 16 months before an election.
I think there probably are. I mean, he has to be consistent. One of the people I spoke to, Barry Burden, who's a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin. Now, his thought is that, you know, it's great to do a very slick campaign video. However, in the rough and tumble, I think were the words he used, of the campaign, there's a lot of sort of gotcha moments, ambush moments. You can't control those things. You know, you have to be up to speed on everything to expect questions about North Korea, to expect a wide variety of things that, you know, so you have to know so much about everything. Now, obviously, I think this is going to be a race that is obviously being watched, you know, certainly by the whole of America, to see, you know, what happens. It's technically a very important election. So the world, America will be watching Wisconsin's first district.
This is, of course, not the first time that Paul Ryan has faced opposition. And even in the last couple of election cycles, the people he has faced have gotten some degree of media attention. What do you see as different about this race potentially? Because obviously we're still a year out. What might be potentially different about this race than those that have come before it?
I think Donald Trump has a lot to answer for on this one. Various people said to me, it's an outsider moment. It just goes to show that somebody who's had no political experience, who's never run for public office, and that's not Randy, obviously, that never run for public office can actually become the president of the United States. So suddenly the world is saying, okay, who's like the third most important, Republican? And obviously that is Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan has one of his jobs is to hold the party together, be the face of the Republican Party. So suddenly everybody's watching. And I think that, previous candidates perhaps were running against him, probably knowing they didn't have the resources. I mean, Paul Ryan has a pretty big war chest. I think he's got $10 to $11 million dollars in it. And normally, the other people, his opponents, have sadly very little. And I think on this one is that, obviously with Randy Brice, he's building up, quite considerable campaign funds.
Right. He seems to be tapping into an ability to raise money from sources that that others have not.
He's also going for the $10. It's the Bernie Sanders routine of like small donations. You don't have to, give $2,000 or $200. It can be $20 or buy a T-shirt or, or a ticket to a barbecue. That's where the money tends to be coming in. Now, obviously, because of the way the video has gone, the campaign video has gone viral, you're also getting a lot of money from, say, Hollywood, from New York, D.C. Money's coming from outside the district. That's probably the first thing that's happening.
The other interesting thing that's at play here is Paul Ryan's complicated relationship both with President Trump and with his constituents.
Yes, I mean, I first went to do a story on Paul Ryan when he was running for vice president, and I went to Janesville, where nobody really had a bad word against him at that point. People were like, "Wow, our representative could be the vice president." So he was a bit of a rock star, young, sort of like dynamic. And of course, that's changed. I mean, it's changed. Really, I think since he became Speaker, but most certainly since his support of Donald Trump.
What is the experience like tagging along with Randy Brice as he kind of figures out what the campaign trail is all about?
I mean, it was interesting because I first met him. Hilariously, we were trying to find a bar to go to, and I was with his campaign manager, David Keith, and every bar we tried, and when I say every, it was two. One had closed down some years before, and the other one wasn't open on Mondays. But we were all laughing, and it was kind of a lovely introduction to him, because, it was like, we can't find anywhere to go, and eventually we walked into a bar and sat down, and it was interesting just to see how many people came up to him. And it was literally, hey, Randy, this is great, high-fiving him. Now, I mean, he's almost like, I think, quite nervous. That sounds crazy to say this. So many politicians and so many would-be politicians are very, very charismatic, take over a room immediately and, tell you what you want to hear. He's not like that. There's a certain sort of like, he listens. He's quite quiet. He's very attentive. He thinks about his answers before he gives them. And then, afterwards we had a lovely old chat. This was our initial interview. And we had a good old chat about books. And I mentioned a book I'd just been reading that had fascinated me. And he's like, wow, okay. And you see he's listening and, then he made notes in his phone. he's certainly recognized instantly nowadays in Wisconsin. And as we know as well, around the country now, too.
We, of course, are having this conversation as though he is going to square off against Paul Ryan. He actually faces a primary challenger who, has pointed to some potential flaws in his campaign.
I mean, Kathy Myers, I feel kind of sorry for her. She's almost been referred to as the forgotten candidate. I also interviewed her, and, their stances on the issues are actually fairly similar. I'd probably say they were sort of progressive. They favor similar things. She's already, won elections. And yet, it's his campaign video that has taken off. Now, I think on certain issues like the Enbridge pipeline, she has a stance on that. And I'm not sure we Randy, when I spoke to him last, was still taking the look and see. I mean, obviously he favors jobs. That's the one thing that, you know, he's get jobs back to Wisconsin. But then there are environmental thoughts on the pipeline, that sort of thing. And I think Kathy is, you know, she's working, she's going part-time. But she doesn't have the weight behind her. But, as you say, she's not a shoo-in. I mean, he's not a shoo-in as the Democrat candidate. And you know, there's a primary in August that will actually, you know, hopefully, you know, sort of, well, hopefully, that will decide one way or another who is the candidate.
Yeah, I guess in this era of contested elections, hopefully, maybe the best we can hope for. Finally, you know, you mentioned the idea, the jobs issue being kind of his bread and butter, and at least one political observer points out that the Foxconn project kind of puts him between a rock and a hard place.
That is a very difficult one because, you know, initially he would go, I would think probably, you know, some time ago, he'd have gone, wow, great. I mean, the other thing is Foxconn is, if you like, Paul Ryan's baby as well. And depending on what happens with Foxconn. Now, at the moment, and I think, you know, sort of Randy says this, it's like, you know, there's you know, incentives, there's you know, tax packages. And he needs to know, we all need to know, is where those jobs are going. Will they actually be snapped up mainly by people in Illinois, or will it be the people of Wisconsin? Also versus the environmental impacts again. And he says, how do you get jobs back and protect the environment and make sure that, you know, the sort of the tax benefits don't harm the people of Wisconsin?
It is a pretty thorny issue for, I think, a lot of politicians on both sides, actually.
Yes, I think it probably is. And it's because it could be, you know, it's something that could totally change the face of Wisconsin. You know, unemployment rates and things like that. I think the worry is it was being, or the thought was that Randy said was it was being pushed through too quickly. That you know, it's like, hang on a minute, let's see what's really happening here.
And again, we're having this conversation, and as we speak, it is just about a year from the election, and a lot can change in a year.
Well, as they always say, you know, a week is a long time in politics, and I think in 2017. Sometimes an hour can be a long time in politics. So anything can happen. And it is that thought that, you know, sort of like, you know, there's so much of the rough and tumble of the campaign trail that could happen. You know, and things like, you know, with Paul Ryan, it's like, you know, whatever President Trump may or may not be doing, will that play to him? Will that benefit, you know, the Democrats? And of course, we just don't know.
Exactly. Well, Annette Witheridge, yeah. It is a great read. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Reporter Annette Witheridge's feature on First District Congressional candidate Randy Brice is in the November issue of Milwaukee Magazine. You'll find a link to it from WUWM.com.